they're blessed, and he gives the benefits. I remember I used to work at Advix, and there'd be a couple of them people at they'd always check out 401k. They'd always be making sure what was in that 401k. They'd always check out 401k. And they was always keep an eye on their benefits because they said you never know when that benefit might change. And I know in today's time, we have to look at our benefits. Insurance is changing, and one day you're covered, and the next day you're not. And one day you got auto insurance, the next day you don't. But I'm glad when it comes to God, it's settled in heaven. If you get in an accident and make a mistake, thank God he don't drop you off the policy. Somebody say amen right there. He gets that, and you know, Allstate says they give that accident forgiveness. I know who really originated that. That was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm glad he gives us forgiveness. And so tonight, I don't know if it was Allstate or not. I just threw that out there. But I knew it was somebody giving forgiveness. But I'm glad Jesus gives it. And we want to preach on tonight on thank God for his benefits, or looking at his benefits. And we want to encourage you this evening that to know this, that if you're saved here tonight, that you're in the best situation you could be in. Oftentimes we look at the situations of life and we get discerned or we get concerned or we look at it and like Brother James said, we think we're going down, we're going underwater, we're taking it in, taking it on. But I'm glad if Jesus is your Savior tonight, you've got benefits that says you will make it through. Sometimes we don't get to see them or know how it's going to end. I've often used this phrase, we can only see as far in the distance as the headlights go. But I'm glad he can see beyond the headlights. Amen. So if you got Psalm chapter 103, say amen. If you don't have it, say hold up. I'm only going to read the first two verses. The first two verses. And this is what the writer says. And if you would, please keep your Bible open. If you don't have to. But if you'd like to, I'm going to stay probably a lot right here in Psalm 103. So this is what it says, and it says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Would you help me pray? Precious, merciful Savior, come to you one more time this evening, Lord. May I say tonight, Lord, Father, this prayer is a little different, Lord, than before. But God, I pray tonight, Lord, God, that you would use me. Lord, Father, first forgive me if I've failed you and where I have failed you. And Lord, Father, please forgive me of my shortcomings. And Lord, God, I ask you, Lord, Father, not to hold it back from this congregation. But Lord, Father, would you still please preach through us, Lord, anoint us with that fresh oil. Move, Lord, Father, upon our heart and upon our vocal cords and our mouth, Lord Father, fill us with your message. That God, that these church members, Lord, and myself may be encouraged tonight. As it says in the scripture, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And there's been times that we have encouraged ourselves. But God, we're asking you tonight, Lord Father, to help us be encouraged through and by your word. And I'm glad, Lord Father, that you will speak through us and that through your word. And that God, if anybody be here tonight, Lord Father, that there's lost and undone, Lord, may you encourage them and their heart would be responding to it, Lord, to knowing that they can be saved and born again and have all these benefits. And God, I pray tonight, Lord God, for the saint that's here. It may be troubled, may be struggling, may be discouraged, or maybe they have sins they've tried to cover up, Lord Father, and running from them, that God, they would get these things, Lord, to you and realize the benefits that they can have in their life, Lord Father, that we all would get liberty and freedom and be a little lighter when we leave, Lord. Please don't leave us unchanged. Please, please, Lord Father, anoint us and touch us, Lord God, and change us, Lord, to be more like your Son. It's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. Benefit is an act of kindness and a favor conferred. It's an advantage, a profit, a word of extensive use in expressing whatever contributes to promote prosperity and personal happiness. I don't know about you, but I like that personal happiness stuff. I like being happy. I do not like being sappy. I like being in a good mood. I don't like being in a bad mood. And I thank God that sometimes, you know, we get ourselves in a position or sometimes a situation that comes up in our life, or maybe we get in a condition, Lord, or get a condition from the Lord where we're either complaining or we're in a bad mood or we don't see the benefits. And sometimes it's hard when the concerns of life or the concerns of what God has you to do clouds up the vision of what we need to see. The Bible says that when Jesus come walking upon the water, there was in so much trolling and rowing of the boat, they thought that it was Jesus was a ghost or a spirit would have passed them by. But they cried out and thanked God that he was there near them. He's within a prayer away. He's within a cry away. He's there a whisper away. And you can call upon him and he will be there. And I'm glad that is the best benefit to have. I've heard people say they get in a car wreck, they try to get a hold of their insurance agent, they can't get a hold of them. Or maybe something's happened to the house, you try to call your house insurance agent, you can't get a hold of them. I'm glad the agent of these benefits is always there at our call. I'm glad we don't have to hit the answer machine. I'm glad we don't have to leave a message after the beep. I'm glad we don't have to send a fax or type in our phone number. I'm glad he knows our voice. Amen. And I'm glad tonight to know that there is benefits in that serving the Lord. And I want to say this tonight that we need to look and see how great these benefits are. And can I say sometimes we forget, but the first part of this verse is something that I've always want to realize in this, in these scriptures. It is the song that we sing. It's in that little book that we have on the piano. Bless the Lord, yes, bless the Lord, well, bless his holy name. And let me not forget all his benefits or the blessings that he brings. I'm lifting up my hands to the great I am, and let me never be ashamed with all that is within me now. Oh, bless his holy name. I ain't trying to be difficult, and I ain't trying to be arrogant or obnoxious. I'm just trying to be truthful tonight. But how many times have we lied all the way through that whole entire song? We didn't put everything that in that song or bless in his holy name that all that was within us. Don't y'all look at me that way, because I am guilty too. When it says I'm lifting up my hands to the great I am, I mean, sometimes at my best, I may give a little one here or a little one there, and just every great once in a while, I'll throw them both up. But it says that's all that is within you, bless his holy name. That means everything about you, your mindset, your heart's condition, your soul, your position in life. And you might say, preacher, I don't have that much of a condition. Well, or much of a position. Well, I should say this. You ought to bless him with everything you got, because he can change your position. Somebody say amen right there. He can change your condition. He can change the circumstances. He can change everything that's going on around you. A lot of times people say, well, it's real easy for you to say, preacher, you ain't going through the hard times. Can I say this? We all like blessing the Lord when the good times are good. But when the bad times come is when really the faith is put to its test. And can I say, a lot of times if we praise God and if we'll bless God with everything that we have within us before the rough times come, and even in the rough times, I believe this, that the storm may not be as long or it may not be as dark as it would be if we would bless him and praise him with everything that we have in our heart. Don't get me wrong. I know some people get upset over this. And they'll say, preacher, I don't worship like you do. I'm not loud like you are. I'm not as in people's faces like you are. And I understand that. I know some people sit in the church house and they're quiet and tears are rolled down their face. And I know sometimes when people say amen under their breath and say things like that, I understand that. But can I tell you, he's not talking about just in church. He's talking about every day, everywhere, and where you may be. And don't get me wrong, I do understand some people don't worship like I do. But when the Bible says that you're to bless him with everything that you have within you, I don't care who you are, you better let her rip, tater chip, and let her all out. Why? Because the Bible says you ought to. And I believe you'll feel a whole lot better when you do. I know sometimes we like to clap our hands, and I think it's good. But the Bible says clap your hands and shout. And that shout for the Lord. You might say, preacher, I shout on the inside. Can I tell you this? It is impossible for you to shout on the inside. And I don't think God meant for you to shout on the inside neither. But he says shout. And that shout, can you imagine if the children of Israel marched around Jericho, and when he says to shout, some of you would sit there and go, and it would not work. Then walls would not fall. But he had told the congregation and the priest to lead them up to shout, and that shout the victory. Don't get me wrong, there is times of solaceness and times of silence. But what the Bible says here in that very first verse, he didn't start off saying, God, give me. He didn't start off saying, God, I need. But he started off saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless his name. You said, "Preacher, I don't feel much like blessing him sometimes." Amen. I don't either. Sometimes I feel like being blessed. But he says, "Bless his holy name." Where would you be at tonight if it was not him? Can I just remind you before I get to the scriptures, I thought about these things tonight. You might say, "Preacher, what should I bless the Lord for?" Well, right now we live in the greatest country that's still on this earth. And I know a lot of people may think that a lot of people don't like America and they don't like the flag. But can I say this? I thank God that we still live in a country where they have a freedom, where they don't have to like the country and they can still burn the flag. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I don't ever want to see nobody burning the flag in my presence. Because you may burn that flag in my presence, I may get fired up too and burn some far out of you. But I'm telling you this, this is the greatest country upon the earth. And I thank God that we still live in the greatest country that is on earth. Good old USA. Can I remind everybody that it was founded and established upon biblical principles? Somebody say amen right there. And I know some people might say, "Well, preacher, I've studied and a lot of those forefathers were not Christians." And you are exactly right. But they also recognized that even though they were not Christians, that they recognized that the God of the Bible was the best way to rule and govern a country. Oh, yes, you said, "Preacher, how come they do that?" Because God's word is infallible. It is perfect. It has never failed. It is always right and timely in that to be used. Can I say it was also founded upon the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank God that the Bible can still be preached in the good old USA. I'm glad we can still be out in a Baptist church on a Wednesday night and other churches around us, Pentecostals and Church of God's and just everywhere around here where we can still preach the gospel with liberty and freedom in good old United States of America. I mean, if you're patriotic, you had a chance to say amen right there. Maybe give the old flag a salute to say, "I thank God that I was born in the United States of America, and I was not born in Pakistan. I was not born in Iran. I was not born in Iraq, and I was not born in Afghanistan." I mean, some of us better be thankful that we've got a place of freedom in this world. That should get you a little bit in a thankful mood. Thank God I live in a country where men are still to be free. I'm glad tonight, though we may not like how the country's run, and we may not like how the country or the government is per se, but we are still of the most freest countries in the world. And though sometimes people don't realize this, but I'm glad they're not coming in with automatic or semi-automatic rifles saying you can't have a Bible. I know somebody put this on the internet one time, and I saw a video of it on YouTube where a big shipment of Bibles was sent to the people over in China. And when they opened up that crate and saw them Bibles, they all went nuts like they haven't eaten in 4 or 5 days. And when they saw the Word of God sitting there, Brother James, in plastic and cardboard, they thought it was the best thing that they could have. Thank God we can still get us a King James Bible. We can go to the dollar store. We can go to Walmart. We can find us a Super Kmart. We can go to Target. We can go anywhere. We can find ourselves a King James Bible. And it's not against the law to have it in your home. I know some people beg to differ, but you can still take it to school. And you know what? You can still take it to church. Woo! Bless his holy and righteous name. I mean, I thought for sure somebody'd get excited on the benefit that you still get to carry the Word of God. Amen. Ain't it good to live in this country? Somebody say amen. We have the capability at our fingertips. We have the capability. Now get this. We can. If you might say, "Preacher, I don't understand everything in that Bible." But you know, we've got Google. We've got Wikipedia. I mean, it's been plastered and blasted from this pulpit about how you can get you still yet an 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary that will define all them big words in that King James Bible that you don't understand. And somebody say amen right there. I mean, you can still get on it. I mean, a lot of times now there's people, and I ain't saying this to be mean, but even the, and we call them Obama phones. I'm not trying to knock them, but even an Obama phone, you can get internet access on there and still look up Google and Wikipedia and just go to 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary. It'll pop up and punch in one of those Bible words and it'll give you the biblical definition. Somebody say amen. And give you biblical cross references to go to where that word's apply. Am I the only one preaching? Am I the only one in a good mood tonight thanking God for the benefits? I mean, thank God our internet's not monitored where we don't get to use it. I mean, yeah, they still may be seeing what we're downloading, but I'm glad they can look and see that we're downloading biblical stuff. Somebody say amen. And I'm glad tonight, Maybe they're looking at your internet and they're seeing you're downloading John 3:16, and maybe it'll affect them in their heart. Amen, that's right. And I'm glad to know tonight that there is the benefit in this Bible. This Bible holds so much of the benefits. But in this very chapter, I want you all to remember this, that the benefit of your life, think about this. The very God that created everything, the Creator, loves you and inquires about you enough to put you in this benefit plan. Notice in verse number 3, tell me if this is not a good benefit. First, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Somebody should say amen right there. Who healeth all thy diseases. Hallelujah. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. He didn't say he forgives the ones that you think is right. He didn't say he'd forgive the ones that you think is right and the other people think is wrong. He didn't make a difference between this sin and that sin. He says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. I'm glad he didn't say how old you was when you committed them. He didn't say who you committed them against. He didn't say if you committed them against yourself, but it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling with some things of your past, some sins that just won't let you be. They keep haunting you. But can I say this? They may never stop haunting you. But maybe you need to focus more on the benefit when that ghost comes around to tell you of your sins and say, listen up, old flesh. Listen up, old devil. Listen up, old sin. My Bible says, he forgiveth me of all mine iniquities. Notice he says, bless the Lord, he forgiveth. He didn't say who had forgiven, but he says, who forgiveth. That means that's present tense, Brother James Powell. That means it's not past. That means if I mess up or do something wrong nowadays, he still forgives mine iniquities. I mean, hallelujah to the Lamb of God who forgiveth all mine iniquities. The Bible says in Hebrews, is your sins he shall remember no more. Woo! That means he doesn't have Alzheimer's and forgets. That means he's powerful enough to say, I'm not going to remember those sins no more. What a benefit right off the bat, who forgives all our iniquities. On the cross of Calvary, where every sin of every man, of every boy, and every girl, and every woman ever was committed was paid for on the cross of Calvary. The blood of lambs and the blood of goats and the blood of bullocks could not take away sins forever. But praise God for the Lamb of God. Praise God who forgiveth all thine iniquities. I've been wanting to preach on this and throw this in a message ever since I saw this. Somebody posted a picture of this person's car that caught on fire and it burnt almost completely to the roof, bent all the way down the rims and to the frame and everything. And as they was going through the car, they found a Bible. And I saw the Bible and it was a King James Bible, Brother Jeff Curry. And it was not burnt. Somebody say it. Well, it was burned around the edges, but it wasn't burnt. Well, no, me being who I am, I just couldn't leave it there alone. So I tapped on the picture, made the picture bigger, and guess what the verse was? It was about the scapegoat who carried all the sins of mankind out into the wilderness by a fit man. Oh, Jesus was our scapegoat. And oh, they went, that fireman and the police officer looked at that scripture. They could look and see they had a scapegoat too. And his name's Jesus Christ. Not only did he bear the sins of everybody, but he forgiveth all those sins. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name, because he forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. I've heard people say, preacher, and we've already touched it in the prayer requests, I've got relatives, preacher, that was not healed of their diseases. If they were saved, they were healed. Amen. Amen. Hey man, they've got the best healing there ever is. I've heard people say, well, that's just you Christians' cop out for not really trusting the scriptures and not being true. Well, I beg to differ, friend. I'm not copping out. I'm realizing the benefit that God gives. If God heals us down here of our diseases, amen. But we still have to die from something. And that disease is called sin. And He healed us from the sin sickness too. And one day after a while, I won't be overweight. I won't be fat. I won't have blood problems or sugar problems or walking problems or back problems or brain problems or cancer problems. One day after a while, the Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but I know when He shall appear, we shall be likened unto Him. Oh, bless His name. This ain't our body. We've got another body that's coming, and a spiritual body that knows no sickness. He healeth all our diseases. The Bible says, since He does that in the next verse, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Oh, amen. Amen. Can I say this today? And I hope you all take this right, hear me out. I believe we got some of the prettiest ladies and young girls and older ladies around in Warren County. I believe God looks down upon them. But I wonder, you said, preacher, what are you getting there for? Who doesn't have first, who redeemeth from the destruction? And I know a lot of folks want to get to the eternal part, but can I say how many times that maybe some wacko has followed you halfway down the road and had thoughts of doing something bad? But God intervened and said, you can't touch this one because they're mine. How many times a little kid maybe or a young boy or a young girl might be staying over after school or walking down the road, and we hear of how many times something happens to one of them, maybe God looked down upon your kid or upon you when you was young and said, no, you can't touch this one because they're mine. I'm glad to know this. He redeems us. He redeems us from our destruction. That means He paid for us. That means He bought us with a price. I'm glad to know this, that the devil would do nothing less more than just to destroy your life, destroy your home, and destroy everything about you. But he can't take it because the Bible says that God has redeemed us from the destruction. That means He can't kill us. He can't defeat us. Bless His holy and righteous name. If God be for us, who could be against us? Amen. What a benefit. And this is just the first couple benefits. But they're good already. He's forgiven us of our iniquities. He's redeemed us from the destruction. And He crowneth us with loving kindness and tender mercies. I like it in Jeremiah. It says He has loved us with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness had He drawn us unto Him. I've heard people say, preacher, I don't think anybody loves me. And I know this tonight, there's probably a boy and a girl that's somewhere in somebody's home, and maybe you're here tonight, and you think nobody loves me. My mom and dad don't love me. My grandparents don't love me. They don't care much for me. Can I tell you, I can't maybe convince you otherwise, but I can tell you for 100% assurance by the benefit that God loves you. Oh, yes, God loves you with an everlasting love. The Bible says God is love. Oh, bless His heart. The Bible says if God loved us, we ought to love one another. And so I love you so much to tell you that God loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. He gave His Son to die upon the cross of Calvary. He done it because He loved you. Oh, how He could have took His Son off the cross. How He could have just waved His hand or batted His eye and we'd all be out of existence. But no, He says, I love that little boy. I love that young boy and that young girl. Or I love that older person down there so much. I'm not going to turn my back on them, but I'll turn my back on my only begotten Son, that they might be made in the righteousness of Him and be redeemed and be reconciled unto me. Oh, what love, what love. No greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And friend, can I tell you this tonight? Jesus calls you a friend. Amen. I'm glad of the loving kindness. Mercies. Lamentations chapter 3 says they are renewed every morning. Thank God for mercy. When judgment called, mercy answered. When judgment called, I better hurry on, mercy answered. The second benefits is In verse number 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I like that word, he satisfieth. Can I say this? He's satisfied in my life. There's no more longing for the things that I once wanted. There's no more longing for the things that once I could not feel. But Jesus has satisfied. Can I say this tonight? A lot of folks is looking for something to satisfy, and they're looking for something to fill the void. And I got people, and there's folks that I work with, they like to make the little joke because they've been in church house so long and they was raised up in the church house, but they were not saved. And somebody can't, you may not agree with that, but I still say amen. Because when you mock the man of God and mock the message of God and the invitation of God, something's wrong on the inside of the heart. And I was told one time, they said, "Well, what are you going to do, preacher? Sit there and tell me there's a little bitty hole in my heart and there's nothing else that can fill it but God." I said, "No, I'm not going to sit there and talk that way, but I will tell you that the only thing that will fill your heart is God. But the reason why you keep running around and flirting with other women and keep going from bar to bar to bar is because you cannot get satisfied." Amen. Hey, Mick Jagger can't find no satisfaction, but I'm glad that I found it one day at an old altar in 1999 by Jesus Christ. He satisfies my longing soul. You may be here and you may be old and you've chased and you've run and you've searched and you've got out the magnifying glass and looked it up on the internet trying to find that which would satisfy you. Can I tell you, friend, it's in the King James Bible. It's down at the Mount Zion Baptist Church, and it is Jesus Christ who can satisfy your soul. You may be here and you may be middle-aged and you think maybe fitting in with the upper crowd or the lower crowd or the popular crowd or the unpopular crowd. I don't know what it is, but you'll never find yourself to fit in there. The only thing that'll fit in your life is Jesus Christ. He will save your soul and satisfy your soul. And you may be here, you may be young, and you think maybe being popular in school or having all the friends or having the good accolades or having all the friends on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, will be what'll satisfy you. I'm telling you, them things will run out on you, and the only thing that'll satisfy your heart and soul is the same thing that satisfies everybody else, and that's Jesus Christ. I'm glad tonight when he saved me, he satisfied it. He satisfied my life, and he satisfied my soul. But he says this in that fifth verse, he satisfies my mouth with good things. That means he ain't going to give me anything. Can I say this, and I ain't trying to take a stab at my mom or any other good mothers and grandmothers in here, but God, oh, I wish we had that flavored cough syrup when we was kids. I wish we'd had that flavored medicine when we was kids. Oh, for the love, if they could have had pill form for some of that stuff my mom gave me. And that was the nastiest tasting stuff that I ever tasted. I'm sitting there going, "Don't you dare." She'd come up and grab your mouth. I'm like, "It tastes so bad. It's going to be good for you. It's going to be good for you." But I'm glad the word of God, it may be bitterness in my belly, but it's always good to take into my mouth and satisfy me. Brother Josh said it Sunday night, and maybe you're here, and maybe, and I'll say this, and some folks look at it as alcohol or drugs, but can I tell you, the Bible says, "Be ye not drunken with wine, where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God." That is something sweet to take to you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see how gracious God is, and he'll satisfy the taste buds of your mouth. You no longer go running after the things of the world and the flavors of the world, but you'll be satisfied with the good things of God. And then you'll renew your strength. I've heard people say, "Well, I'm feeble and I can't do nothing." But I've seen folks who's been up in years and says they're feeble, ain't got no breath, ain't got no strength, and God come by and blow on them, and they'll testify. They'll sing a song. They'll say a prayer. And God will give them enough strength to get them just like their youth. What's that old adage? Youth is wasted on the young. I've been saying that here lately. And a lot of folks look at me and saying, "You ain't even old, preacher." But I look at my kids and see how they run around and waste all that energy going, "Lord, how that could be used for something good." But I'm glad he'll come by your way and blow upon your life with his mighty power and satisfy your mouth and give you strength. As it says, youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm glad tonight. And the third point is verse number 8. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. I'm glad God don't stay mad at us. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody says, well, I don't think God gets mad at all. You better look in your Bible, friend. He will get mad. Absolutely, he'll get mad. I was reading through scriptures today and studying how the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. But I'm glad his anger will not always chide. He will not always be upset with us. And some folks will say, preacher, how could God get mad at us? Well, if you look down upon your creation and the one that you paid so much for and you see them going astray, not just sinning and getting out of line, but maybe doing something that would be harmful to their walk or harmful to their life or harmful to somebody else, I believe God looks down and sees us when we take a little misstep, and maybe he gets a little bit of anger in him and gets upset, because the Bible says, be angry and sinneth not. But the Bible also says, whom he loves, he chastens. Amen. Be zealous therefore and repent. I thank God that even though he may get upset, he doesn't stay mad. I wonder how many people be willing tonight to admit, I mean, I've made my wife mad, I couldn't tell you how many times. And she stays mad for a while, but she never stays mad always. Thank God. And she's made me mad. The only reason why I say this is because you all get mad as far at me if I talked about your all's family. Somebody say amen right there. But how many times have you been mad at your wife? And how long have you kept that anger? Bible says, don't let your wrath or let your anger, don't let the sun set upon your anger, something like that. So don't let it set there. The Bible says, the anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You can be angry, but he says, don't sin. I tell you, I don't know how many times we have been guilty of being mad at the kids, being mad at the person in front of you, at the car, in the traffic, getting mad at them, getting mad at the radio because the station wouldn't come in. Get mad at the cell phone because it wouldn't work the way you wanted it to work. And we get mad, but I'm glad God don't stay mad at us. I'm glad he corrects us because he loves us. And the next one is in verse number 4, in the first, no, verse number 10, 10 through 14. This is the one that really got me. Who hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as is the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed us, removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we're dust. Bruce, he remembers what we're made out of. I've heard people say, preacher, you believe in perfection. I absolutely do believe in perfection. The Bible says there is a perfection to be obtained. Preacher, have you attained it? No, I have not. But it doesn't mean I don't preach it. It doesn't mean it's not in the Bible. But I'm glad he looks at our body. I'm glad he looks at our life and he remembers what we're made out of. Tony, he hasn't dealt with us after our sins, nor the rewards according to our iniquities. Because if he dealt with us the way we've done wrong, oh. And somebody says, preacher, I don't do that bad stuff. Well, the Bible said to know to do good and do not, to him it's sin. And there is some things that God hates. He hates discord. He hates all kinds of stuff. It's things that are abomination, but I'm glad he didn't kill us. He sends out warnings. I don't know how many times in the scriptures he says, if the preaching that was done here was done over here, no doubt they would have repented. And I'm glad, I don't know how many times I've sat in the church house or I've sat in the car or I've read in my Bible or I've heard a message preached by another preacher or whom God's preaching through, and even ones that's been here and it's preached, and the ones that are here it's preached, and God lights me up. I'm glad he didn't kill me. There's been times I've went to that altar and I felt like I was the biggest failure and said, God, I'm glad you have not killed me today. But the Bible says he remembers our frame. He remembers that he made us out of dust. He remembers that we're weak. He remembers that sometimes it's just so hard for us to do right in this world. Does that mean we can go live any old way we want to? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But you'd think it would cheer us something fierce to know that God has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. How many times have we failed? How many times have we come to church I wonder how many Sunday school teachers have showed up to church that should have a lesson, and they scrambled at the last minute, maybe got something off the internet. I wonder how many times preachers have scrambled at the last minute before they got into church and looked for something, and God didn't have nothing, didn't do the effort that they were supposed to put into it. And you're always looking at me like a calf at a brand new gate, but I've been there. I've had friends, saved friends, and say, come on, preacher, it's Saturday night, let's hang out. We're out of town, we're in a hotel room. I mean, we ain't got no big commitment. We just got to be at church tomorrow morning and sing and preach. They'd keep me up till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting there getting up at 7 o'clock because I could not sleep. And I'm sitting there scared plumb to death because I did not put the effort in as I ought to have. But I'm reminded, Brother Bruce, it's not just the preacher that has to put forth the effort. It's everybody who nameth the name Lord is to depart from iniquity. Y'all know y'all should have said all your amen on the preacher not being right. Now we got to get back to the church members. Y'all going to look at me like I'm mean. But the Bible says that we are to be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within us. A lot of people put this on the preachers and says, be instant in season and out of season. But the Bible says we all ought to be instant in season and out of season. That didn't say to Jason and James and Josh and Jeff, but it was written by Paul to Timothy, for everybody that nameth the name of the Lord, be instant in season and out of season. Young people, old people. And how many times have we failed at it? And thank God he didn't reward me according to my failures. I think it leaps all the way back to that first benefit, who forgiveth all our iniquities. You're here tonight, and if you're saved, you should be the happiest person on your block. If it's not the happiest person on the block, you should be the happiest person on the street. Maybe there's other safe people on the street, but you should be the happiest person in your house. Well, I got other safe people in the house, then you all should be having a humdinger of a time on all the benefits that God has given us. Can I say this? And maybe, you know, I know it's Wednesday night, but, you know, I feel something on this one. This is the fifth benefit. I got all kinds of benefits. I ain't going to get through them all. But maybe this is a good one. I don't know, but I think this benefit's a good one. We've escaped hell. I mean, that's it. I mean, it's just hell. We've escaped it. You know, I hear all the people talk about, you know, and I've been in, I don't know how many funerals, helped out, spoke words, in situations, and they come up to you and say, well, where are they at? Where are they at? Where are they at? And I can't give them an answer. Other than the scripture, it says they're in the hands of a just God. Amen. But more and more people, instead of realizing the benefit of being saved from hell, they just totally jump rails off the track and say there is no hell. But my friend, it's real. It's a real place. And it's been getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Aren't you glad tonight that there's not a place in hell with your name written on it? Aren't you glad tonight that you have escaped the torment and the wrath of God? I've heard some people say, well, preacher, what's hell really like? Well, it's the wrath of God. It's the absence of God's presence, the absence of God's love. It's the absence of God's Savior and the absence of God's church. The absence of God's people is not there. There's no light. There's nothing but darkness. There's no feel-good breeze. There's nothing but flame and torment. There's no refreshment. There's nothing but parched, searching for a drop of water. And we've escaped it. The Bible says in the book of Job, they'll look for a place of escape, but they won't be able to get away from it. They'll be stuck there. And I'm glad tonight that Jesus made the way of escape. The Bible says there's no temptation taking you, that which is not common unto man. But with every temptation, God gives you a way of escape. And I'm glad tonight that way is Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And we've escaped hell. What a benefit. Some of you might say, well, preacher, I thought that's the reason why Jesus saved us. No, these are all benefits. These are all benefits. Why did Jesus save us? Why did God save us then? because He wants us to be in the image of His dear Son. We're His children. He wants that love to be upon us. He wants us to succeed. I don't know, I've got all these kids and I love them with all my heart. And the greatest joy that stirs my heart is when they succeed, Brother James Powell. When they stand up and sing a song in the youth group and they know all the words without having to look at the book. I was sitting here this last time the youth group got up and I was watching these kids sing and I was amazed how a lot of them wasn't even looking at the book. And I saw one other kid try to give Logan or Levi a book and I'm sitting there laughing going, they can't even read. But when they pulled the book back, Brother James Powell, they could stand right there and sing every word from the depths of their heart. And with all that was in them, they was blessing His holy name. Why? Because God loves them. And He wants them to be His son or His daughter. That's why He saved us. He wants us to be His children. I got sideways on. I got off track. But He saved you because He wants to be a part of your life. I've been seeing, and unfortunately I was a part of this, but I have seen where families are torn apart and ripped apart by some of the stupidest things. Some of the stupidest things. It happened in my life and it separated me from my family for over 4 years. And it is lonely. It's lonely. It's almost different than losing a parent, than it is being separated from your parent and knowing that they exist, but they don't want no part of your life. It hurts. Don't y'all look at me that way. But how long have we been estranged from our Creator and our Father? And so He sent our elder brother to die upon the cross, that we could be heir and joint heirs with Him, that we'd be no more tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine, but that we would taste not, touch not the unclean thing, but we would come out from among them and be separate people and be His sons and His daughters, thus saith the Lord. That's why He saved us, so we could be in the image of His dear Son. You ever think about that? A lot of times people say, well, I just thought God saved me to keep me from dying and going to hell. That's a benefit. That's a benefit. But He really saved you because He wants to be a part of your life. Jeff Landers, He loves you so much. He says, I want to be with Jeff when he's going to work. I want to be with Jeff while he's at work. I want to be with Jeff on his way home from work. When Jeff's asleep, I'm going to be right there watching over him while he sleeps. Oh, bless His name. Woo! For Him to save us because He wanted to be with us. That's love. Being saved from hell is a benefit. I thought that would spark y'all, but maybe that's not a good enough benefit. Can I give you another benefit? How about we get to go to heaven? Don't get excited. Calm down. I mean, we're just talking about heaven. It's not that big thing. It's not that big of a deal. I even got it in all caps right here. It's what my notes say. All big giant caps. Heaven. Hallelujah. Should have put a hallelujah right there in the note. Amen. Maybe that would excite people a little bit more about heaven. The Bible says, hell hath enlarged her borders, but heaven hasn't had to get no bigger. Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you. Heaven was prepared for the devil and his angels. So when a person dies and goes to hell, they're a foreigner. They wasn't meant to go there. They were supposed to be going to heaven. Y'all hear this, preacher? It's a benefit. Can I say, maybe in 2015, we forget all His benefits. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and look at this, in verse number 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Verse number 6 says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that this, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I've said it before. You've walked by and looked down and see them sainted, them children of God, them grandmothers or mothers or grandpas and dads and siblings, them ones that's fought a good fight and have kept the faith. I'll never forget, I was down there in Harlan, Kentucky. And we was preaching down there at Locust Grove Baptist Church, and I didn't know it, but the biggest funeral director in Harlan County was sitting right there in the front pew. And I said, I don't know how many funerals I've been in, how many funeral homes I've ever been at. I said, I don't care how good they are, they could never make them people look alive. Because what made them alive is no longer there. I didn't know he was sitting there. But I was told he looked over at the person next to him and said, that is the absolute truth. Because what makes them alive is gone. Amen. And if you're safe tonight, you don't go to hell. You get to go to heaven. What's it like, preacher? John tried his very level-headed best to describe it, but I don't think he even scratched the surface. I don't think he scratched the surface. I've heard people say, I think there's golf up there. I've never found golf in the Bible, but if God wants golf, hallelujah, we can have golf. Putt, putt, par three, full 18 hole court, I don't care. I just know I get to go. If there's a golf course up there, it's a benefit. Don't you all go around here and saying, our preacher preaches on golf in heaven. I'll lie on you all. But if he wants a golf course for the James Powell, hallelujah, it's a benefit. I've heard some people say, well, I think there's bowling up there. I hope not. I hate bowling. But if it is, it's a benefit. I just get to go. I was never forget this as a kid. My daddy would say, Jason, I'm heading up to the store. You want to go? And I'd say, yeah. And there was many a times I didn't get to go. My grandpa would ask me if I want to go. I love riding them old pickup trucks. And I always get upset and I'd cry. But when they'd ask if I wanted to go, I sat in that passenger seat, rolled down the window, cocked out my elbow to get that trucker stand. I felt like I'm living high on the hog because I got to go. Well, one day after a while, it may be tonight, it may be tomorrow, or it may be next week. But when this whole body gives up its last breath, I get to go to heaven. What a benefit! What a benefit! And of all the bad news we've heard tonight at the start of the service, and it was bad news, here's another benefit. You can take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's get us a song tonight. Let me ask you this tonight. Christmas is coming gone. Hopefully all the hustle and bustle before Christmas was done. Or maybe you go do the hustle and bustle and do all the returning thing, the fighting to return gifts or do all that stuff. And you get busy, you get busy, you get busy. And maybe for the last week or two, you've been so busy. Maybe the last month or two, you've been so busy doing other things, you forgot about all His benefits. You said, preacher, you didn't list them all. You're absolutely right. I just listed 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. When's the last time you really let a rip for the Lord? You ain't got to do it here in front of me. When's the last time you let a really ripped and said, God, all that was within me, I bless your holy name. And even in the benefit of Him knowing our frame, He looks down and sees us getting so busy and so broken down and so wore out doing the things of this world. But tonight I'm asking you, if you haven't praised His name or glorified His name in a while, now hear me this, if you're saved and you haven't praised Him, there should be a shame felt in your heart. There should be. There should be. That's a good thing. It should be there. And you say, preacher, I just don't know how. Well, won't you tonight, as they sing this song and play softly, or ever how they do on the instruments, how about you come tonight and say, God, would you please remind me just how good it is of all these benefits?